This is Jay Sekulow, and this is an outrage. An Ivy League college president tells Congress the call for genocide against Jews needs context.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the outrage continues on our college campuses, and now you can really understand where it's coming from, and it's coming from the leadership. You blame the students, of course, because they're uninformed and they're making statements that are ridiculous. But these college presidents, when asked if it called for genocide against the Jews or against Jewish students, should be stopped on a college campus. Their answers before Congress yesterday are appalling. And I want to thank, before we even start this, our friend Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from New York, who's been on this program many, many times, for pointing this out. And she showed the outrage. I want you to listen to this, folks, and listen to it carefully.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer. Yes, Ms. McGill.
I think when you hear that, you have to take a step back and go, how do they even make these horrible remarks and feel okay with it? Because you know it's planned. You know they're going to get asked this. This isn't a gotcha question.
No, this is their planned statement.
This is the planned statement. How do we get there? And mainly, how do we get out of this?
Well, you get out of it by something we're going to do, and that is we're notifying every university, especially the Ivy Leagues, that they're violating federal law by not providing a safe environment for students. They're creating an atmosphere of intimidation and hostility, which violates federal law, and that could put federal funding at risk. Now, is this administration going to do it? No, but the next administration might. And you've got major donors. That's another thing that needs to happen. Major donors are saying, you know what? I'm not giving that university any more money. But I want you to understand what they're saying. What's going on in these college campuses, the students alone is outrageous, but these university presidents have no backbone. Why can't I say, of course, the call for the genocide of any group, Jews included, would be harassment, especially when it's aimed at the students on your campus.
It just seems like an easy answer. This one isn't a, even there's like caveats of what she's saying, what words are being used. When Elise set up something like the question of being, is it, does calling for genocide of Jews violate their code of conduct? And they kind of, you know, go back and forth on it. And then it goes to, if it is severe, you know, so the answer is yes. It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman. That is a really bizarre way to answer this question from both the presidents that were there.
Well, here's the problem. They both said basically the same thing. So what you're talking about is this was not a surprise question. This was the question you knew you were going to be asked. So what we have to be thinking is, wait a minute, that's exactly what they intended the answer to be.
Right.
That's the shock and horror of this. And as the brutality, it's like the UN women and the UN, the women's groups not coming out and condemning what happened is so outrageous. To me, it's unconscionable. But folks, this is why at the ACLJ, we are fighting hard. We planned on the theme for our last month to be faith and freedom for our year-end drive.
It's going to be celebration.
We thought it
Christmas.
Would be one of celebration. That changed, obviously, when Hamas committed their attacks on October 7th. We knew this was going to be a long war responding to the brutalities and atrocities of Hamas. So we've had to shift a lot of our effort to supporting Israel. We still celebrate, though, this season, the coming of the Savior of the world, which makes our effort to protect the Holy Land, the place where our faith was born, that much more vital. But our work doesn't stop there, and the world is focused on not just when the world is focused on one region, we have to focus on everything. We fight each and every day to make sure your rights are protected at home and abroad. But we need you. We need you to stand with us. Go to ACLJ.org. and become a member of the ACLJ, our Faith and Freedom Drive. You donate, your gift is doubled. We'll be back with more.
Secula. We are going to take your phone calls as well. I want to hear your response to those statements coming from the Ivy League presidents calling genocide of the Jewish people, calling it a context-dependent decision as they spoke in front of Congress. This wasn't some, you know, off-mic recorded message, some leaked thing. This was a prepared response, and it was outrageous and absurd. I think we should hear it again to set up the context.
We'll set up the context.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me set up the context. You asked the most pertinent question in the beginning. They knew they were getting this question. This wasn't like I'm preparing. You think they'll ask me about threats against students and genocide against Jewish students as a problem? They knew they were getting that, Logan, and they still responded this way. So now go ahead.
Let's go. So there was actually two different presidents that spoke. There was the president of UPenn and of Harvard. We haven't heard from Harvard yet. Maybe Harvard had a different point of view. Let's go here. This is Ali Stefanik talking to the president. Is it the president? Is that right?
Yes.
Of Harvard.
And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual. Targeted as at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric.
And is it anti-Semitic rhetoric?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation, that is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So only if it's an individual. But if you're targeting an entire people group, not a problem at Harvard.
Well, or a group of students, so it's not targeting. I mean, the problem with these universities is this is exactly how they think. Joining us right now is our senior counsel for global affairs and a graduate of Harvard, I might add. And I want to get your opinion on this, Mike. The president of Harvard, Penn, MIT were all called to testify yesterday about the anti-Semitic threats that are going on in these college campuses. And we've all seen it. And they're really outrageous. I mean, they're calling for, some are calling for the genocide of the Jews, from the river to the sea. We know what that means, but they're being even more specific than that. And these university presidents will not condemn it. They said, "Well, you got to understand the context."
Yeah, there's no context here that is remotely acceptable to make such reprehensible statements like the university presidents did.
Yeah,
they, one of them was asked yes or no, simple yes or no question: is the Jewish state of Israel, should it exist? Does it have the right? And couldn't answer the simple, this was a gimme question, couldn't answer the simple question, yes. Look, we've known, Jay, Jordan, or HLJ, you guys have been working on these campuses a long time. We've known the risk that was there. We've known how far progressive left whacked out they've become. And I think this was simply further evidence of that. And the discrimination against Jews on those campuses that those presidents evinced yesterday breaks my heart. It doesn't surprise me, but reminds us all that there is an enormous and big project in front of us to fix these institutions that are important parts of the United States of America.
Well, they're educating the next generation of leaders. And I've asked our team, we have an education law group team inside the ACLJ, to put together a letter that's going to go to all these college presidents and say, listen, we're all for free speech and the marketplace of ideas, and the universities are particularly the marketplace of ideas. But when that idea calls for the extermination of a student's life, that's probably not the point where it should still be okay to say it. Saying one thing, I don't like the policies of Israel, that's fine. Calling for the elimination of the Jews, that's a whole different ballgame, especially when you're the Jewish student they're aiming it at. And so we're going to notify all these university campuses. I want to get your sense of where you see we are right now, also on the situation in the Middle East. this is the 2 month anniversary. I hate saying the word anniversary, but it's the war's 2 months old since the atrocities started. What's your sense of where we are, and what do you see coming?
It's remarkable. Here we are, Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. 2 months on now in the Middle East. No one told the United States not to respond and to crush our adversaries 75 years ago, we should not be doing what the United States is doing today. We have Secretary Blinken out talking about whether they have enough credit to wipe out Hamas and whether putting restrictions on immigrant travel here when we are not fully supporting Israel. I'm worried that these restrictions will begin to weigh on the Israeli people. I'm confident Israeli leadership knows they've got to complete the task. But when the entire world, including the United Nations, demonstrates that it is unwilling to defend basic sovereignty and basic human rights, there's an enormous amount of risk, not just to the people of Israel, frankly, but to people throughout the Middle East and those of us here in the United States of America. You saw Director Wray's testimony yesterday. He said that he's never seen all the lights flashing red in this same way. That is a direct result of a set of policies in the Middle East and at our southern border and of America's place in the world.
I was going to ask you two questions. I'm going to start with the first one. I want to follow up on the Director Wray. You were the head of the CIA, the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. When he made that statement yesterday, what went off in your mind?
He knows something. He has seen something. That wasn't just a throwaway line to protect his rear end. That was an observational statement about what the intelligence collected by the FBI, counterintelligence efforts here inside the United States. I'm very confident that there was a basis for his statement that he has never seen such a high risk out there. And it's unlikely, Jay, that it's a singular event, that there's some particular threat or plot that he is tracking. But I think he is seeing the cumulative weight of what we know. And I think he's seeing some evidence of things that are flashing in front of him that we simply did not know. And that caused him to alert not only the world and America, but his team to the fact that there's an enormous amount of work to do. And this southern border is deeply additive to the problem set that he and his officers face every day.
Let me ask you now from the Secretary of State perspective, if you were Secretary of State today, as you were during the previous administration, what would be the action you would take regarding the current situation as it sits right now in the Middle East? We've got over 100 hostages. I'm not sure how many are alive or dead. You saw the reports yesterday. They said that 15, 20, or 30 of the hostages may already be deceased. And that's probably based on information they've gotten from people that have come out. But what would you be communicating today?
Three core messages, I think, Jay. First, I've traveled to Israel, and instead of standing there and telling them, gosh, you have to behave consistent with international norms, that's a given. Israel's going to do that. Instead of that, you would be saying that we are full-throatedly in support of the destruction of Hamas, and the United States is prepared to do everything necessary to protect Israel from other threats as well, whether that be Hezbollah or the militias in Syria. Second, not a but to Iran. So stop unfreezing assets, enforce the sanctions, put real pressure on the Islamic Republic of Iran so that they don't continue to see these proxies as a tool of their own power. And then finally, I would travel to the Gulf Arab capitals and remind them, we're going to do our hard work. We're going to do the work to isolate Iran. You need to stand with us as well. And it's in your best interest for Hamas to be eliminated. It's in your best interest for Hezbollah to vanish. And they would be much more supportive of the American effort and the things that were in American best interest if we did all of those three things. Those would be the simple messages. It's what we did for 4 years, Jay, and it largely worked.
You know, the International Committee of the Red Cross finally today, just moments ago, sent out a tweet saying, hostage taking is prohibited under international humanitarian law. The hostages must be released, and we must be allowed to safely visit them. It took them 2 months, Mike, for them to say that.
We know that they have been at least partially complicit in what took place there. We've seen instances where the ICRC was protecting things related to Hamas. We've certainly seen that with the UN relief organization there, UNRWA, funded by the United States under President Biden. We've seen them complicit in this as well. And then we've seen what may be some of the most horrible language from the United Nations that I can remember, Jay, from Secretary General Guterres, is his malfeasance during this crisis is extraordinary and, in my judgment, makes a really hard case for America to ever contribute another dollar to the United Nations so long as he remains Secretary General.
It's the whole thing's horrific. Mike, we appreciate the update. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. Folks, we are able to do all of this and bring this to you because of your support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. I mean, look at the expertise we have. And by the way, we're going to be joined by one of our other colleagues, Tulsi Gabbard, coming up. Mike Pompeo, Tulsi Gabbard, Rick Grinnell, our team. I mean, this is your support of the ACLJ is allowing all this. We planned on the theme of our faith and freedom drive to be one of celebration this year. And then, of course, that changed when Hamas launched the attacks on October 7th. We knew this would be a long war, and responding to the atrocities of Hamas has taken a team of the ACLJ to do that, to support Israel. And while we still celebrate, and we must remember the Christ of Christmas, and that is our hope and glory, our efforts to protect the Holy Land are also right in play right now, because this is all what's at stake, folks, with all of these. Our work doesn't stop here in the United States, though, when we're focused on other portions of the globe. We're fighting each and every day to make sure your rights are protected at home and abroad. But we need you. As a caller said on the broadcast recently, she's, quote, reporting for duty when she stands with the ACLJ. Stand with her and thousands of others who report for duty in this fight for our God-given rights. Have your gift doubled through our year-end drive. Donate at ACLJ.org to our Faith and Freedom year-end drive. ACLJ.org. These are the most important days of our year for the support of the ACLJ. Do that at ACLJ.org. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Tell them to go ahead and take a phone call. We got people calling in. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. CeCe Howell's in the studio with me. Todd's calling from Georgia on line one. Hi, Todd.
Hey, yes, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I think there's a disturbing connection between what's happening on these campuses and what's happening in our schools with the push for CRT. And we've seen what's happened in Gaza and Judea and Samaria through UNRWA, through their education, yes, teaching kids to hate Jews. You know, how do we stop this?
Well, part of it is you're right. I mean, it's in the education system, and that's problematic. And as Logan pointed out, and I think correctly so, these university presidents knew they were going to get asked this question, and despite knowing that, they gave that answer, which means that's what they really think. And that's what they're teaching these students. And these are the next generations of leaders in the United States of America. And that, to me, is the core problem here, CeCe.
Yeah, we need to be concerned about who is educating, who are the people that are educating our children. We need to be involved and engaged, and we need to make sure that we get them the correct information. And we see it with this anti-Semitic, you know, push. It's just clearly, it's ignorance. People do not understand
the facts. I don't think
those
university presidents, it's ignorance, CeCe. Well, I think they calculated what they said. And they're trying to run this line to not offend the Muslim students. And if the way you have to not offend a Muslim student, and this doesn't speak for all Muslims, by the way, these are the ones that are doing these protests, is you have to say that extermination of a race of Jews is okay, is pretty pathetic.
Yes, and that's what they believe, and it is pathetic, and it's ridiculous, and it's terrible that is happening and being pushed in the United States.
It creates a zone of hostility in these campuses.
Yes.
Where Jewish students now, we're hearing from them, are scared. They are frightened about what's going on in their campuses. And Christian students that are pro-Israel are frightened. Mm-hmm. So this is the reality of what these students are living with. And then these university presidents go on and pull that off yesterday. It was disgusting. But, I mean, this is the world we live in. So what do? We fight back. We don't just say, oh, that's bad. What do? You start with process. And the process here starts, you notify these universities of the federal laws they're violating. I want to shift focus here for a little bit because we've got a lot of things going on in other parts of the world as well. And very interesting, Shahari Argil, who heads up a lot of our international work, was over in Pakistan.
Yes.
And go ahead and give us the report on that.
Sure. So Shahriar went to our Pakistani office and was able to visit with some of our clients there. We've told you about Shahzad Masih, who is the 16-year-old who was arrested on false blasphemy charges, has been in prison for 5 years, and is now sentenced to death and sitting on death row while we do have appeals pending. But he was able to visit with him, and interestingly, another client of ours, Amun, who is also another false blasphemy charge that is sitting on death row. He's been in prison 9 years. Shahzad's been in prison 5 years. They're actually in the same prison. And so at least have two Christians that are together in the same prison.
Yeah, but they're facing death.
Yes.
I mean, then they do the death penalty in Pakistan. So we're working on these cases. Now, we've been successful in others in getting these removed. Where are these? I think it's important for people to understand, CeCe, where these are in the process. You understand, we have an office in Pakistan, folks. So we're handling that region.
Yes, so both of these are waiting for an appeal. And like I said, Shahzad has been sitting in prison for 5 years and Amoon has been sitting in prison for 9. And we have appeals pending for both cases, appealing their death sentence, death by hanging.
Yeah, so folks, our international work has a variety of scopes. And by the way, we've got a full team of the European Center for Law and Justice that's in Brussels right now. I just got a report. Meeting with European Parliament members, meeting with the political parties. They just participated in the European prayer breakfast this morning, where they were engaged in putting forward again the hostage families to bring their story, because every day this goes on is more difficult for these hostages. So understand what we're dealing with right now at the ACLJ. We have a team that's working on this hostage situation, which is probably have 10 people on it, not just ACLJ lawyers, but government affairs team as well. Then we've dispatched our team from Strasbourg, France, over to Brussels to work with the families of the hostages in the Israel matter, so that they can make their case. And Gregor Popinic was before the members of the European Parliament yesterday and gave testimony, actually made an opening statement, which was very powerful. So your support of the ACLJ allows us to do all that. Now, on top of that, the UN has now called, this is very interesting, we're going to go through some of this in the next segment too, but the UN has called for, has opened up a commission of inquiry and are asking for what they now call, not letters, but quote, submissions on Hamas. This is unusual because they normally don't do this. Let's talk about what that means exactly.
So the Commission of Inquiry is an investigative body that is investigating now the potential war crimes that are happening in this Israeli-Gaza war that's going on when Hamas attacked Israel. And so the Commission of Inquiry has asked two submissions, basically the crimes that have been committed against women, hostages, and we will make both of those submissions documenting every single horror and act, criminal act of war that has happened and taken place by Hamas.
So this is new, this Commission of Inquiry on this, or this request for a submission. And let me tell you the scope of what I've asked CC to work with our team to put forward an entire, all of the evidence, because it's all public. They videoed this stuff, folks. Hamas videoed the atrocities. The International Red Cross now says they, you know, 2 months later, now they want to have access to the hostages, which I guess I'll have to say better late than never. But the problem is we already know of hostages, including one of our own clients whose son was killed by Hamas. He was shot when he was taken as a hostage. There was some thought that he had recovered, but he died. These are the reports we've gotten during surgery or immediately after surgery, because he was actually not just shot in the arm, but shot in the stomach.
Yes.
But they took him as a hostage because they thought he was a value target. This is what we're dealing with. So when you look at all the work that the ACLJ is engaged in, and at the same time, in Arizona, we just had a case thrown out, another one of these attempts to get Trump off the ballot. That case has been thrown out. And our team is in Colorado today at the Colorado Supreme Court on the 14th Amendment cases that we shockingly won. I mean, we won all the other cases. I did not think we were going to win Colorado, but we won Colorado as well. So that one is now resolved.
That is great.
At least it's at the Supreme Court of Colorado.
And again, it's the 14th Amendment. They're trying to take really, literally, our right away to vote for the presidential candidate of our choice.
It's amazing to me that they've done this. Folks, we are, and I told you this before, we had planned our theme for the end of the year. This is the most important month for the ACLJ of the year. And we plan the theme to be faith and freedom, to be one of celebration, because we've had a lot of great victories this year because of your support of the ACLJ. Obviously, that's changed. Not that the victories haven't happened, but a lot of the focus of what we're having to do has changed because Hamas launched that brutal attack on Israel on October 7th. They call it the Dark Sabbath. We knew this would be a long war. We know it's going to be a long war. Responding to these atrocities, Hamas has taken a lot of our team's efforts. You see, I've already outlined what we're doing there. And it shifted a couple of our legal teams to that work. But we're able to do that because of your support of the ACLJ. But I don't want to forget that we're celebrating Christmas, the birth of the Savior of the world. And that is where the hope lies in all of this, for all of these conflicts. So we're also defending the right for Israel to exist so that the historic sites of the Jewish and Christian faith can be maintained. Because believe me, if the others get in control, they won't be. We're fighting each and every day to make sure your rights are protected here at home, including, as Cece said, your right to vote. But we need you to continue this fight. As a caller said on the broadcast yesterday, she's, quote, reporting for duty when she stands with the ACLJ. We want you to stand with her and thousands of others and report for duty in this fight for our God-given rights. Have your gift doubled through our year-end donation drive. That's donate now at aclj.org, and your gift will be doubled. It'll be matched at aclj.org. I encourage you to do that today.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Seculo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We've got a lot of work going on at the... We've been talking about what's going on these college campuses. We play that horrible testimony from the college presidents from Harvard and MIT. It was ridiculous. At the same time, there's been a request for an independent commission of inquiry on a number of items. And one of those is, we talked about previously, the Hamas situation. But Cece, there's another one dealing with UNRWA.
Yes. So we are sending a letter today to the Commission of Inquiry, again, which is the investigative body at the UN that is dealing with this situation going on in Israel, as well as the Secretary General. And we are calling their attention to the ties of UNRWA, a UN entity that has direct ties proven over and over again to the terrorist Hamas group.
Including a teacher with UNRWA keeping hostages.
Absolutely.
Think about that for a minute.
Holding an UNRWA teacher, holding a child as a hostage in his attic. So we are drawing attention to that. Countries like Germany have pulled their funding. We are going to ask the United States to do the same. But in the meantime, we're going directly to the United Nations saying that their status as a UN entity should be paused while this investigation, at the very least, should be paused while this investigation is going on. And we would like them to pull the mandate from UNRWA.
You're talking about pulling funding. I think this needs to be the signal for the theme for the rest of the year. Pull the funding from these colleges, pull the funding from UNRWA, pull the funding from anybody who's supporting this stuff, Logan.
Yeah, I think that there are only a few things that can actually make any difference, and maybe money is the main one.
No, I think that's right. Let's go ahead and take this call because I think
Diane's calling from Nevada online too. Diane, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Jay, you know, I'm one of your champions, and I also really am upset about this college thing, especially, and I understand that there are some ways that we can help, but I think that maybe it would be a good idea to get a campaign, a letter-writing campaign. I'd be happy to help, and I know others would, to go to the college alumni, to go to the parents and say, you know what, if you don't like this, let's take a stand. Let's get our kids out of here. Let's pull the money, just like they did with Disney, you know, and try to get some sanity back in these universities. Because I know there's got to be people who are millionaires and billionaires.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I'm with you. I think the money thing is a whole thing. Some of this came up. Let's take a listen.
So is your testimony that you will not answer yes?
If it is, if the speech
becomes, yes or no.
If the speech becomes conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
Conduct meaning committing the act of genocide? The speech is not harassment. This is unacceptable, Ms. McGill. I'm going to give you one more opportunity for the world to see your answer. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's code of conduct when it comes to bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be harassment.
The answer is yes.
It can be harassment? No, it is harassment. So let's stick with the defund these groups. Now, these universities have gigantic endowments, and they'll get money from other sources. But I don't think people that supporting our position or supporting the position of someone that doesn't want to see the elimination of a people group should be doing this. And UNRWA, I think it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
And we're paying them money to hold Israeli hostages.
That's right. And Logan is right. Money usually is what talks. And so we need to pull this money every chance we get.
I think it may be your only chance. But look, there are also ways you need to look at how you can support the work of the ACLJ right now during our year-end drive. It's the Faith and Freedom Drive, but it's our year-end drive, the most important month of the year. Maybe explain why December always ends up being the most important
Because 30% of your revenue comes in 1 month because it's year-end giving. So people can write it off on their taxes. So people will wait and see how they've done for the year. It makes total sense and make their gifts then. So that's why it's done at the end of the year. So we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You know we've been involved in, and we've had to put a lot of resources in our Israel, but we're also handling election cases. We're handling free speech cases for students. I mean, on and on the list goes. And what we need you to do is stand with us right now. That's the important part of this.
Yeah, we had a lot of people who've called in who said they're supporting us, who are reporting for duty, as they say, when they stand with the ACLJ, and you can be a part of that as well right now. Stand with thousands of people who are reporting for duty in our fight for our God-given rights. You can do that, especially this Christmas season. Our Faith and Freedom year-end drive. Go to ACLJ.org. Back with more and Tulsi Gabbard coming up.
Everyone, we're being joined now by our colleague Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi, what's going on in these college campuses? I thought Elise Stefanik, one of your former colleagues when you were in Congress, did a magnificent job yesterday. I want to play the first one again and get your reaction. I know I played this twice, folks, but this is where you got to see the evidence over and over again. This is the question that they were asked. Let's play it so Tulsi can hear, and I'm going to get a reaction.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer. Yes, Ms. McGill.
Here's what I don't understand, Tulsi. These university presidents knew they were going to get this question. They know what's going on their campuses. They know the Jewish students are having to hide in Hillel houses and bring in extra security. And yet they can't answer that if you target a group, because the context is it's happening on their campus. To me, it's mind-boggling that they said this, and scary.
It is incredibly scary and outrageous. I had not heard that clip, Jay, and that should be, this shows how dangerous a situation we are in, especially when you listen to that and watch that video within the context of how these are the very same people who say that if you use the wrong pronoun against someone, that is considered harassment, that it is speech is violence. If you disagree with someone politically or you say something that offends someone else, then you should not be allowed to say those things because you're making them uncomfortable. It is absolutely shocking and incredibly dangerous, and creating a physically unsafe environment for Jewish students on these campuses when a college or university president cannot immediately, without hesitation, answer that question by saying yes.
So here's what's so troubling to me is, A, and Logan brought this up earlier, it was calculated. This was something that they knew they were going to get asked, and they said.
Yeah, I don't think they caught anyone off guard with this question. I think Elise came in and said, we're going to try to get a gotcha question here. It was a pretty standard question. Which
it was the basic questions of the hearing.
The basic question of, is, does calling for genocide violate your code of conduct? And the answer was, well, depending. And it depends on if it's targeted to a person or if it's targeted to a group. If it's to a person, yes. If it's to a group, maybe not. I mean, the fact that they're saying context is really what's king here is pretty absurd.
And you're right, Tulsi, to point out that the absurdity of what they will call harassing speech. But this goes beyond this. This is the problem with all of this. This is also the women's groups not coming out initially and condemning the rape and molestation and mutilation of Jewish women in Israel and being stone silent. A lot, not all of them, but a lot of them, until like in the last 24 hours when Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, called them out.
What this points to, and you're exactly right, it is revealing of how fearful these people who are in some of the most powerful positions, whether, in a community, it's a university president or in the United Nations or leaders of other countries, how afraid they are of offending the Islamists. And this is why I so frequently remind people about both the short and long term threat of this radical Islamist ideology, an ideology that's fueling terrorist groups like Hamas, who are directly calling for the extermination of Jews, not only in Israel, but everywhere. And we are seeing leaders of countries afraid to call them out for what it is they are preaching, and we are seeing how their ideology is very quickly spreading and being adopted by a lot of young people across across our country, but really around the world. And so this poses, what this actually does is it poses a very direct threat to our freedom, freedom to feel safe when going to school, freedom of speech, as well as a threat to our own security. And again, we've seen far too many examples just in the wake of October 7th of those kinds of violent mobs and attacks that are occurring.
Yep.
We the people and leaders, our leaders and leaders in the world, need to take the threat of Islamism very seriously and address it and take it head on. Those who are afraid are part of the problem and are de facto supporting the Islamist ideology and what they are preaching.
You know, and you know this, I've represented a very diverse group of clients in the religion cases. I mean, I've represented Jews for Jesus. I've represented Hare Krishnas. I've represented Baha'is. I've represented across the spectrum. I believe in religious freedom. But religious freedom does not equate with the termination of a group. So when you say from the river to the sea, you're talking about genocide, but they are targeting it directly at the students on their campuses. So they want a context. There's the context. Let me take it to another issue that I'm concerned with here. And that is something that I know you dealt with in Congress. And that's the United Nations. UNRWA, the reports are that a teacher on the UN's payroll kept a baby as a hostage in their home and did not treat this. I mean, this is not a happy ending. And this is money coming from the United States. We've given $1 billion almost in the last 3 years to the United Nations, to UNRWA.
You know, this is an example of where American leadership is so essential. The United Nations, obviously we are the majority donor to the United Nations and therefore have a very specific level, an outsized amount of leverage to be able to influence their policies and direction. And it is very stark to see how the Biden administration refuses to use that leverage to do the right thing in this situation, as well as many others, especially as there continue to be more women and children and others and Americans who are being held hostage by these Islamist terrorist groups. I don't buy for a second Hamas's excuse that, oh, well, you know, we don't have them. We don't know where they are and we can't get these people. Yep. Give me a break.
Yep. Let me give you.
They work in concert with each other. They worked in concert with each other to conduct this heinous terrorist attack against Israel and these families on October 7th. No one should accept their excuse as a reason to not bring these hostages home and to not bring about the kind of temporary break in hostilities that's required to do that.
Let me ask you last thing here. I want to get your reaction. This Chris Wray yesterday made the statement. He is very concerned about terrorism in the United States. Blinking lights everywhere. Take a listen.
Blinking red lights analogy about 9/11. All the lights were blinking red before 9/11. Apparently, obviously, all of us missed it. Would you say that there's multiple blinking red lights out there?
I see blinking lights everywhere I turn.
Okay. All right. Can't say any better than that.
So that's the director of the FBI. So they're concerned about what you're calling the Islamic threat is for real here, Tulsi. I mean, it's for real.
It is for real. And when you look at the Islamist threat here in the United States, if he's talking about blinking lights as it relates to a domestic threat, again, nothing exists within a vacuum.
Right.
We know that there are Hezbollah sleeper cells in America. We know that as Iran grows their nuclear capability, the threat of tactical nuclear weapons becomes a very, very real situation that we have to deal with. And we also know that the FBI and the Department of Justice is directing many of their resources in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, towards going after American citizens for their political views,
right,
rather than focusing on the very real security threats that are the cause of these blinking red lights. So the priorities of the Biden-Harris administration, as they have been from the beginning, are completely wrong, and they're putting the safety and well-being of our children and our families and our communities across this country at risk.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Tulsi, for your insights. We appreciate it. Again, Logan, this shows the breadth and depth of our team. You've heard from Mike Pompeo today, former director of the CIA and former Secretary of State, and then Tulsi Gabbard, former member of the United States Congress.
Yeah, people come from very different point of views also, especially in terms of the situations that happen overseas. So you're able to get sort of a broad spectrum of advice and common sense conversations happening, whether that's on air or off air, with these people at the ACLJ.
We can do this because of you, and your support of the ACLJ here is absolutely critical. We're working, of course, to defend Israel. We're working to defend your right to vote. We're working for religious freedom around the globe, but also here in the United States. As a caller said on the broadcast the other day, she's reporting for duty. I want to ask you to report for duty as well, if you can. If you're able, we'd ask you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. When our Faith and Freedom year-end drive, this is the most important month of the year because this is when the most significant amount of donation support comes into the ACLJ. The gift will be doubled. It'll be matched. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your phone calls, so if you have any last-minute calls, 1-800-684-3110. Before we wrap up today, let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in New Jersey, on line two. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. Are these folks aware that one of the slogans of Hamas is that Islam is the solution and the Quran is our constitution?
You know, I'm not sure what they're aware of, because I was watching our friends on Fox News yesterday, and they were talking to a protester who was quoting from the mountains to the sea instead of from the river to the sea. So I don't think they have any idea what they're doing. They're just getting out there and protesting because they think it's cool.
Yeah, they did. They asked a lot of them, what river and sea are you referring to? And almost none of them can answer.
None of them knew. And they don't even know what they're calling. Do you know that calls for the elimination of the Jewish state? No, it doesn't. I mean, but the problem is it's become the in vogue thing to be. And the problem with that is if you study history in the 1920s and 30s in Germany, this is how it starts on these college campuses. It's the same problem.
We've seen that. We've seen a lot of this sort of more liberal, you know, TikTok influencers and all that, whether that's quoting Osama bin Laden or praising the Quran. You're starting to read the Quran in this situation. Understand that a lot of these influencers are the people who historically would not be very welcome in the Islamic faith.
No,
however,
thrown off the top of a building.
However, this is the beginning of starting to don't kid yourself that this isn't good for them, that they're going to be able to start converting people and finding out more, especially, and really what becomes radicalization. And that's what's happened over and over in terms of getting Americans involved. Think about ISIS. How many of those,
I think that's
remember
what
the kids
was worrying about.
Remember the kids that would come over or would go to ISIS and go support ISIS that were coming from like Alabama and somehow get recruited online. These conversations, they're good at that and getting people talking.
Yeah, and you're right. They've been doing it and they continue to do it. But that's where Tulsi's right. I mean, we got to realize this threat is for real.
Yeah. We want to hear a clip here that Will, the producer, just put in from Chris Ray. This is yesterday about his feelings on anti-Semitism right now.
Has there been an increase in anti-Semitic attacks since the October 7th atrocity against Israel?
Yes, and what's striking about that is that that's coming on the heels of what we were already seeing even before October 7th as a significant uptick, not just of hate-fueled attacks, but specifically anti-Semitic hate-fueled attacks as a portion of those. And by far and away, the biggest chunk of the tips and leads, which are coming in fast and constantly to us post-October 7th, the biggest chunk by far involve threats to the Jewish community. We've seen bomb threats to synagogues, you know, threats to attack the Jewish community on campuses and other places. We've had multiple arrests.
Look, that's what the FBI should be focusing on. These are the kind of things and the threat to our safety instead of worrying about pro-lifers.
Absolutely. We're going to continue taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. Not quite ready yet for them, but if you want to give us a call, this is a good time to do it.
But I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Because I want some good news at the end here.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So we produced a movie at the ACLJ Films.
We've been talking about this movie for the last few weeks. Our new, brand new Christmas comedy with a big heart, big message. It's really funny, but it also hits a lot of the topics that we talk about here at the ACLJ, but in a way that's, you know, kind of woven in a very sweet, funny, creative way. And it's called Jingle Smells. It is available right now. We're excited to make a new announcement about Jingle Smells. We have been available on Rumble since Thanksgiving Day.
It still is.
It's available on Rumble. We're excited about our partnership with Rumble. They have been our premier platform. We still actually encourage you to go buy the movie on Rumble. It's a great way because they're our number one. You know, they're the free speech platform. We love working with them. But people have asked for other options. So we've decided to respond to that. Now, Jingle Smells is available in two other different ways. It's available on Vudu, V-U-D-U, which, you know, is Fandango. A lot of your TVs come built in with this app. So you may already have it. It was owned by Walmart. Now it's through Fandango. So you may already have it. It's available now on Vudu. Also,
it's on the homepage. What do people need to do? Just
yeah, if you're on the Vudu app, go there. It'll be at jinglesmells.movie later today. We'll have the two new options launched. We just launched on Vudu. It just happened. So we haven't been able to even update our website yet, but it's available on there. If you have that app, again, if you have a Comcast, Xfinity, something like that, you can actually just usually talk into your remote and say, go to Vudu, and it'll open right up. And again, it's V-U-D-U, and it's available there. It's also available on DVD. We've had some people who've asked for hard copies, maybe for Christmas, and those are available exclusively through John Schneider Studios, which obviously John's been a great partner of ours. He's one of the stars of the movie.
Did a great job.
As well as a great cast who have been doing the rounds, by the way, on all the media. So hopefully you've seen him, whether it's John Schneider, whether it's Ben Davies, who you've heard on here, or Jim Brewer, Victoria Jackson. And they've all been kind of popping up doing news.
We're going to be doing really more of this on Sean Hannity's program on Friday.
Exactly. And Sean Hannity is in it, as well as one of the executive producers with me. It is available right now on jinglesmells.movie. It is a Christmas comedy in a way of kind of the Christmas comedies we grew up with. You don't have to worry about a Hollywood agenda. It is fun. It is exciting. It is a great family movie you can watch with your kids or without. It's not a kids movie in that sense. You don't have to watch it with your kids. You're not going to sit there and groan through it.
But it's a
movie, though, for everyone to watch together and enjoy it. And again, it has a terrific cast of kind of comedy icons, the TV icons, the film icons. And we have been so thrilled to work again with Rumble, but now it's also available on Vudu, and it's available on John Schneider Studios.
So where do people need to go and get it?
Yeah, just go to jinglesmells.movie. And again, later today, we'll have up direct links. If you want to buy that DVD or you want to go to Vudu, it'll probably be up on that website within an hour. And you can do that, as well as you can go directly to John Schneider Studios if you want that DVD. And John's selling them regular, and also you can get them signed. You can do a lot of different things.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go to Bill, who's calling in Wyoming on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just want to say that anytime I get the money, I send whatever I can to you to help you out on this.
Appreciate that very much.
Here's the deal. I've been single. I'm a single person, but I've been around parents and families, and I've even seen it on the news where these kids, they get singled out in school. Yep. It doesn't matter who they are. Somebody doesn't like them. They get teased or harassed.
Yeah, bullied.
All names and all this. And it's on the news that there's a fight. Why? Because of this person's being picked on. And I believe it's from the universities. I think these professors, these presidents, are either living under a rock or they're just completely oblivious.
Or Bill, they actually promoting it. Some of these university professors are promoting this stuff and backing these students. Some of them are associate deans. I mean, it is outrageous. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Kay very quickly out of New Jersey.
Yes, I was just saying that what is the difference between my saying to my neighbor, I'm going to kill you, or if I'm walking to a store and say, I'm going to kill you, I'm pretty sure I'd be arrested. I would certainly hope so.
You're exactly correct, and that's a great analysis, because this idea, they're saying, well, if it's targeted, if I say to somebody, I'm going to, you know, I want to eliminate you, but there's five other people around, well, I don't know who the you is. And that's what they're saying. You realize that's when they say context matters. Context doesn't matter. It's anti-Semitism. They shouldn't be doing it on the campuses. Well, first,
obviously, we encourage you to go check out our new movie, Jingle Smells, available now. Jinglesmells.movie. You can find it there, or again, just search on...
And the ACLJ gets a financial benefit.
Of course,
from that.
Yeah. ACLJ's producer in it. You can find that on Rumble or on Vudu, and now DVDs through John Schneider Studios. But also, we are in the middle of our year-end Faith and Freedom Drive.
We are, and we had planned on the theme for Faith and Freedom to be one of celebration. All that obviously changed, although we're going to still, you have to celebrate the time of year we're in, because it's the change of the globe. The most significant event happened in Bethlehem. And we're having to focus, obviously, on defending the Jewish state, which defends all of us, including the historic sites that are such an important part of our faith. We're also handling cases, you heard today, across the country and around the globe. Your support's critical. We had a caller that called in yesterday that said she's reporting for duty. I want to ask you, I call this the reporting for duty campaign. This time for you to report for duty if you're financially able. And that is stand with us at the ACLJ. Because when you donate, and this is our most important month, it's going to be doubled. It'll be matched by someone else. But this is the month where we figure out our budget. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and participate in our year-end Faith and Freedom Drive. Very important. This is how we determine the budget for the next year. ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.